Our reading today comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
Catherine, thank you for reading. Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you. Happy Christmas. Welcome to St. Nick's, particularly if you're here for the first time. It's good to see some sort of Christmas presents around and a few Christmas jumpers. Maybe it's just one Christmas jumper, actually. JY, well done for wearing a Christmas jumper and putting the rest of us to shame. Do keep that passage open, and we're going to look at it for the next few minutes. What's in a name? It's a good question to ask, isn't it? What's in a name? Cast your mind back to September. And there was all of that conjecture over how the late Queen Elizabeth would be named. Yes, it really was only 3 months ago that the Queen died. But Elizabeth the Good, perhaps, people said. Elizabeth the Great. I think Lord Farmer, who's someone in the House of Lords, argued it should be Elizabeth the Faithful. And in fact, there was a whole debate in Parliament on what she should be named, Elizabeth the Great, the Good, the Faithful. But then, of course, there was the question of another name, the name that Charles would take on his accession, the name the King would choose to take when formally made King. And again, in the papers, there was quite a bit of speculation. I'm not actually a historian, but I don't think Charles's have got a great reputation in the past, and so people thought maybe he'd go for one of his middle names, you know, George or Archie or Arthur or Wilbur or whatever it is. But anyway, he went for Charles in the end, didn't he? And the thing about a name is that it can capture a person, who they are, their job. It can provide a bit of narration, a bit of story. The thing with a good name is that it places someone in history, a good name, provides some sort of narration. As an aside, one of the friends that Emily and I often go and visit at Christmas goes by the name of Patasha. And Patasha, you may think, is a slightly eccentric, unusual name, Patasha. So called because her father was called Peter and her mother was called Natasha, which is a bit unusual, isn't it? My name would have been Jen if that had been applied to me. But I wondered if this morning we would think for a few moments about Jesus' name, okay? The baby at the centre of everyone's attention today, as we've been singing carols about him. And I wondered if this morning we would notice what it was the angel said to Joseph, that is Jesus' closest earthly relation, his daddy, if you like. It's in that Bible reading, chapter 1 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 21. Let me read it out for us. Verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We're just going to think about that for a few moments. According to the Bible, you and I have a problem with rebellion against God, or in the language of verse 21, with sin. According to the Bible, at least, we're not okay with God. Actually, we've lived our lives with no regard for him. That last carol that we've just sung puts it kind of provocatively, doesn't it? But with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. I mean, just think about that. Think about all the evil that has been done by humanity. Just think of our own failings and things that we've done wrong. Just think back on 2022 and what this year has taught us about humanity. There is so much bad stuff in the world. We, as humanity, do so much stuff wrong. War, murder, deceit, and so on. And the Bible says that is all tied up in how we've treated God. Though he created us, each one of us just ignores him. In fact, we each by nature live our lives as if we were God. We hurt each other. We look after ourselves. That is what the Bible calls sin. And just like how in life there is a price for a rebellion, you wouldn't get away, even in this country, with trying to kill the king. The Bible says there will one day be payment for our error. We should be punished by God, says Jesus. We should pay for all of our sin. And yet 2,000 years ago, a baby boy was born. And he was born to take away our sin, to rescue, if you like, all of his people from the price of their rebellion. Verse 21 of our passage, he was born to save his people from their sin. I don't know if yours is a family that sort of plans their Christmas day around watching, well, I suppose it would be the king this year, but it used to be the queen, didn't it? I married into one of those families. In our family, we didn't used to watch the king or the queen. We were too busy arguing by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But in Emily's family, Christmas Day built round watching the queen. It's going to be a bit strange this afternoon, isn't it? With King Charles rather than Queen Elizabeth giving us his Christmas message. But here is how she, the queen, put it in one of her most famous Christmas broadcast. Okay, here is Christmas in the words of Her Majesty the Queen. And I actually think she might have penned these words having read Matthew's Gospel. I mean, you can see if you agree with me as I read them out. But here is Christmas in the words of our late Queen. Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves, from our recklessness or our greed. At Christmas, God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive. Very striking, isn't it? I mean, whatever your opinion of this baby who was born at Christmas, this is real history, whether you treat him as your king or as a phony or just a moralist going around sort of a good teacher, I hope you can see this morning that at the center of his character, he is a savior. Jesus can forgive. Verse 21, she will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And yet that only half explains, doesn't it, why this boy is called Jesus. He's a saviour, point one, okay? He came to forgive. But in the next verse of our passage, Matthew explains for us why Jesus can forgive. Have a look down at verse 22, okay, of Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. All this, we're told, took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you see the link here? Oh, Jesus Christ came down to earth to offer us salvation. He came into the world to save us from our sin. But only he is qualified to offer us salvation because there's something totally unique about him. Verse 23, he is God. God with us. And there's no way that we as humanity could ever save ourselves from sin. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. And his shelter was a stable, and his cradle was a stall. To give a little bit of background on me, for those who don't know me, the first time I ever seriously investigated the claims of Jesus was as a student at university. I was sort of brought up in a church going home, and I was sort of interested when I was a sixth former, but at university I really started reading the Bible for myself, and I was blown away by what I discovered about him, about Jesus. Because for starters, I came to understand that this, Matthew's gospel, is real history. It's not a myth. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a synonym or an allegory or a metaphor, a myth, anything like that. In fact, if you're interested, you could take away for yourself a copy of Matthew's gospel. They're on the table by the door at the back. And this is a biography that was written in about 70 AD. It was written by a witness, by an eyewitness to Jesus, someone who lived with, worked with, walked with, died for him. But second, I discovered that the Jesus of real history, he was quite unique. There was nobody like him. In fact, there is nobody like him still, with the power to still the sea, to save the dying, to raise the dead, to heal with just a touch people with leprosy. Totally unique. No, Jesus was the Son of God, the Son of God, his Father, with all the power and all the authority of him. Jesus was our Creator God. He was the God we've been ignoring. He was God made flesh, God with us. That was him. In fact, that name he's given in verse 23, if you look down there, Emmanuel, is a compound of two Hebrew words, im meaning with, el meaning God. He is God with us, God on earth. That is what is unique about him. And yet what I found most gripping as I started looking into the claims of Christianity for myself was that Jesus died for you and me. He faced what we were due because of sin. That is, the God who spans eternity, he came to die for you and me. He took on flesh to serve, to save from sin. I guess that's why he came to earth with all this pomp and ceremony, don't you think? He was God on earth, come to save us from sin. I guess that's why around the globe there are 2 billion Christians, 2 billion Christians today celebrating Christmas, worshipping him. Oh, Jesus came into the world that he might be a saviour. He came to earth to save us from our sin. His name? It means God saves. He came from heaven. He came from his Father. He is God in the flesh. And we all should worship him. Although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that we sometimes need saving from ourselves. At Christmas, God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a saviour with the power to forgive. And to close, that is why this morning, as we meet together as Jesus' people, it is right that we should thank the Lord for him. You know, it's right that we should remember how he's bridged, if you like, this massive chasm that exists between God and us, how Jesus has dealt with our sin. I mean, there are many things, of course, that are so wonderful about Christmas. I mean, think of turkey, pigs in blankets, all the trimmings. In fact, I walked into the kitchen a couple of moments ago to get a glass of water, and it smells fantastic. If you're staying for lunch, you're in for a real treat. But there can be nothing better than the baby born at Christmas, nothing better than believing him or knowing him. If that's new for you this morning, why not check it out after Christmas? If you would say in your heart of hearts, you know, I actually don't know him. But as we close, I'm going to read that verse at the heart of Christmas, and then I'm going to thank our God and Father for sending him. Let's pray. I'll start by reading that verse. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Our Father, we thank you so much that 2,000 years ago, in a little-known village in the Middle East, a baby boy was born to take away our sin. We thank you so much for sending into the world your only Son, our Saviour, to come to earth and pay for all of our rebellion and our wrong. We thank you so much for his humility, his willingness to take on flesh, for his willingness to suffer and to die for our sin. And we pray that we would remember him now as we share together the Lord's Supper. And we thank you so much this Christmas for sending him. Amen.